thing. So a really good section today. Matthew 22, verse 15 is where we pick up. Government in society. Oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. But hey, it's in here, we teach it. That's why we go line by line, verse by verse. If it's in here, we teach it. And we teach it in its proper proportion because we go through the Bible. So let me remind you, Jesus is in the last week of his life. Okay? He's about ready to be taken to the cross where he's going to die there. But he is going to be buried and he's going to rise a couple days after. So this is Passover week. Remember, Passover week began on the 10th day of their month they called Nisan. And then that was the week when people would present their lambs to the priest for examination to see if those lambs were fit for sacrifice. Because remember, they needed to be without spot and blemish. And then each day of Jesus' final week, we see him in the temple courts of Jerusalem being inspected by the religious leaders, probed, questioned, as they try to find fault with the Lamb of God. Then, on the afternoon of the 14th day of Nisan, those lambs were publicly sacrificed by the priests, which was the exact day that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. So as we've been going through, started a little bit last week in the beginning of 22, and we'll do it for the next couple of chapters, we're going to see more examinations. The religious leaders putting Jesus to the test. It's not smart to test God. You know, you're not going to win. It is not. But these guys haven't figured that part out yet. So let's read our section today. Matthew 22, verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him, Jesus, in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And in verse 18, Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" Remember, hypocrites is an actor, like putting on a facade. 19, "Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled. And they left him and went their way. Lord, thanks for this time we have. We thank you for your Holy Spirit just at work inside this room, Lord, and in wherever we're watching online, God. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit's work. May we be real soft in our heart and receive every little bit you have for us, God. Teach us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in a parallel account, it's Luke chapter 20. It says that the religious leaders sent spies to catch Jesus in his words, so they could turn him over to the governor. So this is a covert operation. They're trying to trick Jesus, trying to trap him as it pertained to paying taxes so they could deliver him to the officials to be killed, the Roman officials. Why do these guys want Jesus to be put to death? Very simply, Jesus is a threat. He's a threat to their position. He's a threat to their power. He's a threat to their authority. He's got to go. We got to get him out of here. And again, trapping God's a losing proposition. So it's interesting when we see, notice in 15 and 16, there's two groups, two Jewish groups who are represented here. They hold polar opposite views concerning Rome and its presence in Israel. And they held opposite views as to whether the Jews should pay taxes to Rome or not. The Pharisees, okay, we talk quite a bit about them as we go through the scriptures. They're religious fundamentalists. They're concerned about preserving the law of Moses. They hated Roman rule. And they hated that their money was going to support pagan Rome and its corrupt activities. And every time they paid their taxes, it reminded them that they were not a free people. And they were supporting the very nation that oppressed them. They hated that. The Herodians, on the other side, they're political Jews. They're not religious Jews. They're political Jews. And they had given their political allegiance to Rome. They liked the friendship that Israel had with Rome. They had no problem paying taxes to Rome. They were willing to give up all that they were as Jews to become Romans. They're willing to forsake their culture, their worship, their heritage. In fact, they thought that holding on to anything that's Jewish is old-fashioned. Rome's the future. Rome's got it, God bless you. Go, Rome's got it going. We need to hook up with Rome to further ourselves. In fact, we like what Rome's done. We've never had roads like this. They had street lights all through the Roman Empire back in that day. We never had anything like that. We like the security that Rome is providing for us. So the Herodians, they're linked up with the Romans. They like all that the Romans are doing for them. But under normal circumstances, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they hated each other, as you can tell. But their hatred of Jesus was greater than their hatred of one another. So here we see they unite together and they send representatives to make it appear they're asking a legitimate question. Notice they kind of flatter Jesus as they get to 16. In essence, they're just going to say to Jesus, "We don't care what anybody thinks of you, Jesus. You always speak the truth. And it doesn't matter who comes to you with a question. They will get the truth from you because you're not a respecter of persons." It's interesting to note all those things they had observed correctly about Jesus. He is righteous. He does treat everyone without partiality. He doesn't love rich above poor or royalty above the commoner. And he teaches the way we're to live in truth. So these guys, in some ways, even though they're trying to puff him up, Jesus could see all through it, but these guys kind of were just trying to get him set up for what's coming. And so there's a question then in verse 17. "Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" You ever want to divide a church? Or divide the support of a religious leader? Get them to take a stand on non-essentials in the realm of politics. And it'll happen every time. This pulpit is to teach the Word of God, not to go on some political rant. Now I can go on a political rant, not to you, but to Randy. And him and I might talk a lot of different things. Never, never, never am I to get up there. And when I walk up there, I am to teach God's truth to people. Amen? And our culture today, if we're not careful, so many of us are walking up here and we're using the pulpit as a place to speak politics. It divides. Here's the thing for me. It's for me, but I think it may be for you. If we're not careful, the things that matter to us in society, outside of God's truth, just the stuff that goes on in our world. If we're not careful, we speak about those things all the time, and therefore then our voice is lost in speaking the gospel truth. Why? We spend all our time speaking about all this other stuff. And we've missed the reason that we're to be a voice mouthpiece in this world. Our mouthpiece is to be about Christ and to bring people to Christ. And I got to be careful as Christian, not up here, down here. I got to be careful that I don't spend so much time talking about things that are non-essential biblically that then when I want to share the truth of God's love to people, they don't listen to me because they're mad at me because of my stance related to taxes or my stance related to the vaccine, my stance related to mask wearing, whatever all that is. It's unbiblical. It's not in there. Now, my stance related to abortion, okay, I can get that. My stance related to human trafficking? Yeah, I can get that. Out of Scripture. Let's be careful, Christian. Let's be cautious. We want our voice to be heard for Christ. Amen? We want that more than anything. And sometimes we got to just let it go related. Now, other times God will put it on our heart and we're to share with a buddy or a friend related to some of these other things. But I want to be known as the person who talks the gospel truths to people, not some antenna that just gets cuffed. Like any frequency that comes through, I go off on these rants at work related to that bring no edification to the hearer. None. All I'm doing is dividing. And that's when I read this. It's like these guys knew if they could divide Jesus' support, that's what they're trying to do. Jesus is tremendously popular at this point. So what are they trying to do? Divide this side from this side? And when people hear Jesus say, "Well, don't pay taxes," people are mad. And other people are thrilled. No pay taxes. The other half's mad. The other half's thrilled, you know? That's what they're trying to do. Be on your guard, Christian. Be on your guard, okay? I don't know why I got out and moved around. I felt a little Pentecostal. I don't know. Woo! Where's my hanky? Hankies ain't bad. I'm just telling you. Oh, see here. Let's get back to the Bible. Safer there. So back to the question 17, right? Pretty clever, the question. It's a really clever question. These guys aren't stupid. You know, they know what they're doing. Paying taxes to Rome, it had been an issue that divided the Jewish people years and years and years. So the question then ultimately is about Jesus' response. If he says, yeah, it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, then the Jewish religious leaders would be able to rise up and paint Jesus as a traitor to the nation of Israel, a Roman collaborator. And all the people, most of the people would have been sent in an uproar. They hated the Romans. And the reason was, Rome was taxing its citizens to death. It's hard to believe, but the general population back then, they didn't like paying taxes. We'll let that go right there. This tax that they're talking about here, from the Greek translated, it's the poll tax. Hated by everyone in the Roman Empire, it was a tax that was levied on you for simply being alive. You breathe our air, you owe us money. That was the tax they're talking about. Back then, Jewish families paid an estimated 49% of their annual income in taxes. Imagine that. We may be headed that way. So if Jesus says, hey, you don't need to pay your taxes, or you do need to pay your taxes, the Jewish people, they wouldn't have liked that at all. But if he says, hey, it's not lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, then these religious leaders would have run to the Roman officials and accused him of being an insurrectionist, leading a rebellion against the Roman Empire. And the Romans then would have went and had Jesus arrested for treason. And then, through these religious leaders, their Jesus problem solved. The Romans are involved now. We're good. And if Jesus doesn't say anything, you're a coward, Jesus. Stand up. Tell us what you think. These guys feel, man, we've prepared the perfect trap for Jesus. Giddy with excitement as they walk up to talk to him. They got the Chuck E. Cheese party already planned. We're headed there right after, buddy. Woo! That is so bad food there. I don't know how long it's been since you've been to Chuck E. Cheese. Are they still in business? Ah, how do you know that? Grandkids. 18. Jesus, though, perceived their wickedness, said, why do you test me? Can you hear the tone of his voice? I've been curious to hear him actually say that. He knows he's trying to test them, so he asked for a coin. Did you notice that Jesus doesn't have a coin? He has to ask for a coin? I don't know what all that means. It's kind of interesting, though. He didn't have one. A denarius is a Roman silver coin, about the size of a dime, worth a day's wages to a laboring man. On one side was the bust of the Roman Empire, Caesar Tiberius, divine son of Augustus. On the other side was a picture of his wife, Empress Livia, in the guise of the goddess of peace, Pax, inscribed with the words in Latin, high priest. So obviously, the only reason I want to go through that, the coin is dedicated to the emperor. So that's why Jesus says, bring me a coin. And he asks in 20, whose inscription's on this? And they say, it's Caesar. But he says the word render. Render carries the idea, give back. Pay back. In other words, give back to Caesar the things that are owed to Caesar. And give back to God the things that are owed to God. And they ask this question thinking Jesus is going to be able to answer only one of two ways. Either it's lawful to pay taxes, or, do you see the word ors in there, or it's not. Jesus answers the question with the word and. He gives them a third answer they didn't think was possible when they say that. I don't know why I'm having trouble with this crazy thing. My Britney Spears mic is not all it's cracked up to be. So first we see there's a debt to Caesar. You see it? Caesar made the tax, therefore we're to pay the tax. We're to give to Caesar that which bears his image and his inscription. He's saying to us, them and us, we shouldn't be afraid of paying taxes. And that government does have a rightful and needed place in society. And the Christian can and a Christian should live in subjection to their government and to God at the same time. You realize that in any country, God intends for us as Christians to be the best group of citizens in that nation as a witness to Him. Now, in that, and I need to say it as a caveat, in that, the one exception is if government ever demands that we do something contrary to the Word of God. At that point, we esteem our heavenly citizenship as more important than our earthly citizenship, and at that point, then, we're free to refuse. Vaccine? Masks? I don't know. I don't know about all that. I do know this. Throughout history, Christians have struggled with this issue. Think of living in the book of Acts with Nero. Think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians like you and me who died for their faith at the hands of a wicked emperor. You know, think of the Christians who lived as Hitler's coming up to power, and the number of people who made stands. Some didn't, but the number of people who made stands and ended up in concentration camps because of the stands they made. I don't know where the line is, folks. I don't know. You know what I'm thankful for? The Holy Spirit of God speaks to us individually. And He's got to be the one that shows us how I'm to walk this faith thing out. And there are some things that you believe strongly about, and you stand up and you say, this is it for me. Yes, I believe this, and I'm going to walk that out. Okay. And other things, someone else may stand up and say, that's the thing. My concern is this. Let's make sure what we stand about is Bible, though. Other things are just convictions the Holy Spirit gives us. Okay, but man, let's make sure we stand for the Bible truth. So here, the point I'm trying to make in the beginning of 21 is a clear endorsement by Jesus for the divine institution of government. And God is a God of law and order. And good government is a key to that. Throughout the New Testament, we're told Christians should be good citizens and support the institution of government. A couple examples, Romans 13, 1-8, you'd have to read the whole thing, the part I pull out, pay taxes to whom taxes are due. And then in 1 Peter 2, 13-17, fear God, honor the king. We're to pay our taxes, according to the Bible. And you might say, well, I don't like what they do with my tax money. You like roads and bridges? How about the police when you call 911? How about the fire department? How about people like Clay in our military who today are defending our freedoms? You know, I ref basketball, volleyball. I ref at the deaf school. I'm thankful for that school. When I go in that school, I'm thankful that school exists. I'm thankful a portion of my tax dollars goes to help those kids. There's some nice kids in there who need to have a school like that so they can be productive citizens in our society. I'm thankful. I agree that some of our tax money goes to ridiculous things. But here's the issue. Our governmental leaders are accountable for how they spend our tax dollars, and we're accountable to pay it. Now, if we don't like what they do with our tax dollars, and I got to tell you, there's a lot that I don't like, maybe we get involved and try to change it. But we don't just stop paying our taxes. That's not biblical. And that's a point Jesus is making, okay? So the first debt is what is owed to Caesar. Notice in 21 then, the second debt is what is owed to God. Here, let me read 21. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. In other words, give back to God the things that are God's. So the question has to be asked, well, what's God's? Genesis 1:27 tells us that you and I are created in the image of God. Of all the things that exist in this universe, the only thing created in the image and likeness of God is us. We see because we have a God who sees. We hear because we have a God who hears. We speak because we have a God who speaks. And the coin that belongs to Caesar because it was created in his image. We belong to God because we're created in his image. And you know what that means? That means everything we are, everything we have belongs to God. And Paul makes it very clear, 1 Corinthians 6, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." And sometimes we think it's my house, it's my car, it's my job. That's not true. It's not true at all. It's all God's. It all belongs to Him. Your health, it all belongs to Him. Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord and all its fullness, the world and all that dwells therein." So the point I'm trying to make in the end of 21, when he says, "To God all the things are God," Jesus here affirms the validity and limits of government as the supreme authority, and yet he tells us that we're God's. Everything we have, everything we are, belongs to God. Then the last verse, 22, "When they had heard these words, they marveled." When you've been put down, sit down, is the old saying. My mom said that to me a lot. And these guys did. And Jesus wasn't ensnared by their question at all. In fact, he gave great instruction in the midst of it. So as we close, question. What has God given you? You, personally. What has God given to you? How about your mouth? Think of all the things the mouth can do. What comes out of our mouths? Is it grace? Does it benefit those who hear? We have the potential to speak things that will change a person's eternity. We have two ears. Do we listen? God has given me a wife. Over 30 years she's put up with me. 30 years has been bliss for me. About 2.5 for Sandy, but 30 years. And I have kids I'm crazy about. And all the things that God has lets me do. And he's given me a destiny. He's given me hope in this hopeless world. He's given me his only son. He's given Toby Reisner his only son. See, we're created in God's image. Therefore, it all belongs to him. Let's give back to God the things that are God's. So I'd like to encourage you in something today. At some point today, even if it's just for a couple minutes, but it'd be better if it was a little longer than that. I'd like to encourage you, stop and think, Lord, what have you given me? Me? I walk. He's given me two legs at work. Lord, do I go where you want me to go? He has given me a mouth. Lord, am I ashamed to open my mouth and tell people about how much you love them? Lord, you have given me my ears. Will I sit patiently and listen to someone who just wants to pour out their heart? Will I be patient as they talk? Lord, you've given me tremendous resources. Am I willing to bless someone with those resources this week? Lord, you've given me time. Do I take it to myself or do I offer it back to you? And you've given me Jesus. Lord, you have withheld nothing from me. How can I withhold anything from you? So I'd like to encourage you, take some inventory today. I think it'll bring an attitude of thankfulness to your heart all over again. Like, it's so easy to get focused on the couple things we don't have and not remember the 10 bazillion things you do. If you're anything like me, because I can dwell so much on this. So let's give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit of God has to show us what that looks like. each one of us. He has to show us what that looks like. And I'll trust that God will show us. But let's be sure that we give wholeheartedly and completely to God the things that are God's. Amen? Here, let's pray. Lord, thanks for today and this. It's so rich. So many levels to that teaching, God. And back then, and all the way through time to today, Lord. And we sit in a time when we wrestle a little bit about government and what's its place, and have they overstepped their bounds, and all the different particulars, not just related to COVID, but a lot of different things, Lord, a lot of things. And we as a country are, I think, $24 trillion in debt and going deeper every day and all the things, God, and we can bump up against all that. I pray that you would allow us to step back from that and see you and hear your voice really clearly. And Lord, we know as we read today that you tell us that we're to support government and we're to pay our taxes. So I pray we'd be honorable in those things. Lord, give us wisdom related to the areas that we're to stand for you, not just because we're annoyed. Lord, we want to stand because you're annoyed, because this issue is one that grieves your heart. Lord, I'm afraid I stand for things that really aren't that big a deal in the big picture of things. Lord, I pray our voices would be heard for the gospel of Christ, and that would be our primary focus whenever we open our mouth. Is how can we tell people that God loves them and he's got a plan for them to be saved? And yeah, we may talk about the Colts, but it's always about getting to that place. Yeah, we may talk about leisure time, but it's always about getting the conversation to a place about eternal things. Lord, lead us in those ways. Help us to be committed to speak in the way that you would want. To love in the way you would want, to serve in the way you would want. Lord, I want to be more like you. I know we do. Thank you for that work in our lives, Lord, growing us into this image. Lord, may we render to Caesar, yes. But Lord, may we render you the things that are you. So if we just sit here for a second, Lord, and help us to know what those things look like. How am I to render to you the things that are yours, God? What am I withholding today? What are those ways, God? And Lord, as you reveal those things to us, I pray we'd be just quick to repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I've been holding on to things that I'm to release to you. Lord, you're the greatest giver of all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we know you're a great giver. Lord, build that into our lives. May we be givers too. And whatever that looks like, we'll trust you with that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Read ahead, everyone. You know where we'll be next week, right?